Welcome to the podcast. This is Reflections of a CEO. And we haven't done a podcast for probably 4 months now, is probably the last one. Had a little break in between. And in thinking how to come back with an episode, decided to do something a bit different moving forward. And what we're going to do is, if you're watching by video, you'll see this beautiful person right next to me. If you're listening by audio, who I'm referring to right now is Sasha, my girlfriend. She's sitting next to me. We thought we would change up the format a little bit moving forward, which was to do them a bit longer. So each episode will be about 45 minutes now, something like that. And it's going to be a bit of a Q&A between me and Sasha. Sasha knows me very well. We've been together for a few years now. And, you know, when I was kind of just talking by myself on the podcast, I was just saying what was top of mind, and that was the purpose of it. But we thought it would be better if Sasha was here to ask a few questions and pull out some information and go a bit deeper than I might go on my own. And that's why we also increased the length. And stay tuned as well. I'll actually be flipping it on her next week, or for the next podcast rather, where I'm actually gonna be interviewing her about what it's like to date an entrepreneur. So she gets that question a lot, and we thought it would be a fun little episode to do. But for this one, since we haven't done a podcast in 4 or 5 months or however long it is, and I was really doing a few a week, you were really, if you had followed along on the podcast, you got essentially daily updates on the business, my company, my life, what I was going through. And now there's a gap of 4 to 5 months. And it's a lot to fill in. Can't fill in everything on one episode. But, you know, when I was thinking about how should I approach this? And one thing that came to mind was I was out for drinks with someone from my team and their significant other. What was it? Maybe like 3 or 4 days ago. And she asked me a question. Her name is Laura. And she asked me a question, which was, what are your biggest accomplishments of 2018? And I thought it was a really good question. And it really made me think. And I thought that might be a great way just to start off this podcast, because I'm going to really focus on even over the last four to five months, so I can kind of fill in that gap. But I thought that was a good framework for this podcast and filling it in. So on the business end, as far as my biggest accomplishments of 2018, there's a few things that really come to mind. One is that we did a bit of restructuring. So this is new, something that I don't believe I talked about on any of the last podcasts, because it's really been over the last 3 to 4 months. We did some restructuring such that someone from the team named Cody, he joined us a bit over a year ago. He started as a product manager, and then he moved up to head of the digital studio. And now, as of a couple months ago, we named him president. So Cody, amazing guy, he is now president of Jacked. And the reason why that is very important is, well, there's a couple things. One is that he is now going to be responsible for the day-to-day operations of the business, responsible for the P&L, responsible kind of for everything. He's taking over a lot of my day-to-day responsibilities so that I can step away and really focus on Popol Group. And Popol Group is a holding company that I'm forming, which will own Jacked and will own other businesses that that we start or invest in, or other things I do. And so I'm, you know, it's been 6.5, 7 years now of running Jacked. I'm still involved in Jacked. I'm not disappearing. I'm still staying as CEO, but my role has changed significantly. I'll be spending probably, you know, 20, 30 hours a week and then on Jacked still. And slowly it will decrease even more. And more of my time is being spent on Popol Group. And so Jacked will be owned or is owned by me still and Popol Group. And, you know, I'm really excited for this. This has been something that I've wanted to do since day one. It was always my intention to build Jacked and then start other businesses. I just thought there would always be other software businesses, because Jacked for those of you that don't know, we build digital products for companies. And so I really thought we'd have some sort of software company. And that was really my intention, was work with a bunch of different industries and businesses and learn what I like and what I don't like, and then spin out different businesses. But a funny thing happened over the last 6-7 years is that Jack serves its purpose of helping me figure out other businesses to start. They just happen to not be software related. So the thesis behind Popo Group is that I want to create other businesses that are cash flow generating businesses that are really more of the unsexy kind, agencies, service businesses that not often people think are the most exciting, but to me they're very exciting because they spit off cash, and that cash allows you to do other things. So over the last 6-7 years, was very focused on Jacked, building that up. I did try at times to kind of do some other things, but every time that happened, Jack kind of declined. And without Jack being in a healthy place and spitting off cash, I can't do any of the Popo Group stuff and the other stuff I want to do around real estate, which is my other real interest over the next few years, is to take the cash from Jack, put it in other businesses and also real estate. But to bring this back to the president and Cody, I've been trying to build a core management team for years now, unsuccessfully. So I've tried things. I've brought in people. At one point, even brought in a partner. Didn't work out. Brought in some other people. And to put a long story short, it's been about, I don't know, what would you say, 3 years of me trying this?
Yeah.
I've been trying this for a while to build up this management team, and kind of just, found Cody, great guy, and saw a lot of potential in him. And so, you know, it wasn't my plan this year was not to find the president and move on. Like, I actually kind of gave up on finding someone who could really help run the day-to-day because I tried it a couple times and it didn't work. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to keep running this I don't know. And then just saw a lot of potential in him, and it just felt like it was time to switch things up a bit. And there's a lot of strengths that I saw in Cody that I don't have that are great for the business. And so it just worked out really well. And so Cody has been president for the last couple months. We publicly announced it maybe a few weeks ago, but behind the scenes, we've been working on this for months. And so that's one of my biggest accomplishments is finding someone and bringing them, them coming through. And it works out timing-wise, right? He was ready in it. At that point in his life, to take on more responsibility in this challenge. We've talked to each other. He's like, hey, if you found me like 5 years from now, I don't know if I would be right for this because, you'd be 5 years older, you have different priorities. But it just works out sometimes where you find the right person at the right time, and then it just starts clicking. So that's been going on for the last couple months. So I'm very happy about that. So that's an accomplishment. And with that, another accomplishment that is related, but I think is really important, was for me personally, is to not be scared to say what is important to me, what I value, the type of people I want around me, and just being unapologetic of, removing anyone that is not like that in my life, and then bringing the other people closer. That's why, Cody now is, he's one of those guys that was like, hey, we really value the same thing. Same with Lauren, who maybe you've heard me talk about. She's head of people and operations. They kind of form, us three kind of form the executive team, and we're very, very aligned. There's no ego, which is really important to me. We all play for the team, and the team being Jacked. What I love is we all put the company first. That's not to say we all suffer, right? But like, we will make a choice, all three of us, that will benefit the company, even though it may, suck a little bit for us personally, because we're all playing the long-term game of where the company's going. And we all believe that the company, should we execute well, it will take care of all of us, long-term. And that's really nice to have. Just removing influences that were just toxic and emotionally, hostage taking was really drowning me. And so removing those and then making sure people at the company as well were like that. I'm mainly talking about company stuff here, but it's also in my personal life, kind of just removing that stuff. So anyways, that was another important one. Another accomplishment is that Sasha and I, we started splitting our time between Miami and New York. So this one, I've been wanting to do this for years. So I grew up in San Diego, for those of you that don't know. I, you know, was there until I was 17 before I moved to New York. Moved to New York when I was 17. I'm 29 now, so I've been here 12 years. And, you know, I absolutely love New York, right? And I actually never even felt like I fit in San Diego. But a funny thing happened when I left San Diego. I didn't miss San Diego, but I missed the weather and the sun and that. And it really has progressively, you know, gotten to me, so to speak, more and more over the, you know, the last few years. And so I've been traveling back and forth to Miami, actually, you know, few times a year just to get the sun. It's much closer than going back to San Diego, a couple hours versus, you know, six. So same time zone, super quick flight, takes a couple hours and back. And this year with just some of the changes that I had, it was really after a conversation with my coach, Elizabeth, when, you know, she asked me at one point, like, what do you want to do? And, you know, design, you know, and we started talking about designing the life that I want. And that's why it was like, all right, I'm going to, you know, offer this thing to Cody. Let's make it happen. I'm going to start splitting my time and not being scared to do it and actually put myself first. So I've only started doing this, but really actually putting myself first for so many years. I put the business first, my emotional health, mental health, physical health, everything just was a second class citizen compared to the business. And I suffered a lot. And this year I'm finally starting to put myself first, and actually by expressing what I want, then actually, funny enough, great things are happening, right? Cody comes into to president, Lauren steps up more. I'm able to split time in Miami, and go back and forth. I was really worried about that. Like, oh, how am I going to, I can't not be in New York. I felt tied to New York. It was interesting. I created the business so that I would have freedom to do whatever I want. And along the way, I lost sight of that. And I actually became the one person who had the least amount of freedom in the company. Never left. Holidays, weekends, everything. And don't get me wrong, I love working. But I also, it kind of sucked because I felt like I had to as well. Because I need to be building the business and saving the business from a downturn or whatever it is. And now, with some good people around, I'm able to now split time between Miami and New York. So in October, we got a 6-month lease for a place in Miami. For those of you in video, we're in New York right now. You probably can't see, but we're in New York. We're going to Miami, back to Miami tomorrow though. But we wanted to test it out. We're like, what would it be like to split time? And we've been doing that for the last couple months. And each month we spend a little bit more time in Miami, and it's been great. I don't know what, how am I there? What changes have you seen in me since, you know, when I'm actually in Miami?
I mean, I think your overall temperament, your overall personality, you're lighter. Not to say you're not stressed, but I think that you handle and manage your stress better. You're able to take little breaks during the day. If you want, even for 20 minutes to go upstairs and get some sun, you can work outside. You know, you have the ocean breeze coming in. It's just overall a more tranquil situation, which I can see from your skin to your facial expressions. You're just happier, it seems.
Mm. Yeah. I'd say overall, my level of happiness when I'm there is much higher. I want to be careful on how I say that. It's not that it's much higher. I mean, I love being here. I am a happy person in general. Just the environment. It's just, I was ready. You know, I was telling my coach, I even told Sasha, when we first started going to Miami, it still felt like I was vacationing there and going there. And even though we had an apartment there, it didn't feel like home. And that was the first time, the second time, and the third time we went, I didn't want to leave, actually. I didn't want to come back to New York. And a really interesting thing happened. And this is how I think I knew. So I was anytime, you land in JFK or LaGuardia or whatever it is, right? You go, you drive into the city of New York, and you start seeing all the buildings. And then you get into the city, and there's buildings everywhere. And there's just a feeling that I can't describe it. If you live in New York and you've ever left and you come back, or you visit in New York, you might know what I'm talking about. This feeling of, wow, like this energy, and you just like, yeah, you just love to be there. And I've literally had that every single time I've left and come back to New York for 12 straight years. Until this last time. It was the first time I didn't feel anything. And I was actually not excited to be back in the city. And it was at that moment that I was kind of like, wow, something's different. And I think I'm ready. I'm ready to let go of New York being my primary residence, which is kind of crazy to say. So we actually initially started to be, we were going to keep New York and then have a place in Miami go back and forth. And it was, Miami was never going to be like the permanent. You know, we kind of had thought about it. But then through doing this, I'm like, actually, I'm going to flip it. And Miami will actually be our permanent residence. And New York will be where we come 10, 12 days a month. You know, the jacked office, the main one is here. The business is here. A lot of things are here. But I don't need to be here. I'm designing a life where I don't need to be here 30 days out of the month. And I'll be here 10, 12 days, or maybe I'll be here a month and then in Florida 2 months or whatever it is. But we're actually going to be moving down to Miami full time. We have a few months left on the lease here, and we're trying to find someone to take it over so that we can actually just leave. We plan to not have an apartment in New York, actually. So we are actually uprooting, leaving. And when I come to New York, I'll either stay with friends or have an Airbnb or whatever it is. But we're actually going to be moving our entire life there. So that's a big change, one that I'm really excited for. But I don't think I'm 100% ready to leave New York completely. And that's why it's really nice that I'll be here. You know, the business is here. I'll be here 10, 12 days a month, whatever it is. So I'm still in New York. I think I'll always have some sort of tie to New York, I think. But primarily we'll be in Florida. So we're going to try that, really make the move and see how they go. So that was another, accomplishment. Those are, you know, I think those are the biggest ones. Do you think I'm missing any? You know me really well. Is there anything that I'm missing that's happened over the last 3 or 4 months that you think is important for people to understand or know, or even hard things I went through or, you know, good things? Oh, I do have one. I finally closed the loop on the lawsuit.
Oh yeah.
So I can't talk about it too much, but I was in a lawsuit and that was dragged on for the last like three or so years, and it concluded. So that was a big emotional weight off of me to kind of be done with that. It really drained me for many years. So that was also another big accomplishment that I just thought of. What else? Is there anything else you think has happened over the last 3 to 4 months that would be helpful for people to know?
I don't know about 3 to 4 months, but this year, like you said, with Popo Group, you're starting other businesses. I think that opening up the recruiting business and also back office as a service was pretty big.
Yeah, so the recruiting thing that she's alluding to is, I forgot, so much has happened this year, is I started a spinoff with my mom, and for those of you that don't know, there was actually a period of time where I didn't speak to my mom for 2 to 3 years, and it was due to, there's a lot of factors in it, and I could do a whole podcast on just that, but let's just say we didn't see eye to eye on things, and for a couple years we didn't speak. And this year we actually started doing business together, and she was working somewhere. So she's been in the recruiting business for 20 something years now, and she's great at it. And she was working, she used to have her own business with her mom, then she worked full-time places, and then she left, kind of convinced her to jump off and start some recruiting stuff with me. And long story short, something that I'm really proud of is that she made more money in a couple months working with me, more money than she was going to make at an entire year at the place she was full-time. So that was a really proud moment for me that I was able to help with that. and that I could work with my mom. So that happened. That was a big moment for me. You know, not talking to her for years, and then doing something, not only doing something with her, but also then financially. And it was, you know, the money is a nice part of it, but like it's cool that you can help your parents make more than they would on their own. It's nice. So that's really cool, because obviously, like, you know, she raised me, and then whatever. Anyways, so that's cool. Another thing she mentioned was back office as a service. I think before jumping into what that is over the last year, and this is something I haven't really talked about before, is over the last year, I've just been helping people for free, just because I like it, helping them start businesses. Like one of my friends, you know, he became my friend. He's my barber. I helped him start his own business. Helped my other friend, who's a fitness and nutrition coach, start his own business. He was actually in med school, about to become a doctor. And then I wasn't trying to convince him not to, but I guess through just being around me and me talking about business and stuff, he ended up starting his business. And you know, they'll both do very well this year. I've helped a couple other agencies and service businesses. And as I was doing this, some of these people that I was helping, like, hey, you should really teach a class on this, or you should talk to more people and whatever. And I wasn't, you know, out to like help them start businesses. I was just around them talking. It's just what I talk about. It's all I think about. I'm like, oh, you can do this or that. You know, have you thought about this or whatever? And then they start coming back, and I give them more and more, not advice, but just tips and tricks and learnings and whatever. And I found myself wanting to do that more. And then for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, like, I'm always getting introduced to new people. But this year, I got introduced to a lot of people that wanted to start businesses or had businesses and wanted to grow them. And I started spending more and more time for free. And it was really interesting, because I started realizing, I did an audit. I do this every so often, which I think is a great idea to do, is doing an audit of your time and where you're spending it. So when I go through, I constantly am and looking at my time. Where am I spending it? Where am I happy? Where am I not? And then adjusting as needed, removing the things that don't make me happy, adding more things that make me happy. And through one of these audits that I did, is I realized I was spending a lot of time helping other people's businesses. And, you know, I never I was very hesitant to think more of that. I don't really like people, you know, I was very hesitant to be a coach, or even though I pay for one myself, but being a coach, because there's so many people out there that are teaching things that they don't actually know and are just essentially scamming or lying to people. And I never wanted to be seen as that. But it was this year when I, you know, after I saw about a year's worth of data, so to speak, of like, hey, the things I'm telling people are actually working, and it's working because they're things that I've done myself, that I was like, oh, there's some value here. And you know what? Hey, I've been in business for 7 years, but I've really been doing business since I was 15. So I have almost 15 years experience. I definitely don't know everything, but I do have some experience. And if I share that experience with people, it could help them grow their businesses. So anyways, I was like, all right, you know, I'm spending a lot of time here, and there's something here. And I had to get over myself of feeling like a fraud a little bit. It's like, no, I've actually built up a business. Jack will do $4 million this year with a 20-25% profit. Like, it's a real business. We've been profitable for 7 years. I've dealt with, you know, sales, marketing, operations, HR, you know, everything, every part of the business I've touched. I know it very well up to this point. And so there's some things I can share. And so, but anyways, the really important point is, you know, when I was doing Jacked, before I started Jacked, I didn't intend to start an agency like this, actually. I was trying to, even before then, try to figure out a software business to start. And I started just seeing where I was spending my time, and it happened to be helping other people's businesses, but mainly on the digital product side and design and development side and stuff like that. And so anyways, I took what I was doing for free and what I just was doing literally every single day and turned it into a business, which was Jacked, which was, we help people design and build digital products, right? And so that same philosophy is what I'm taking now and applying it to something new I started, which was, hey, I'm just spending a lot of my time on here. What I'm good at is monetizing things and creating business models around things that work. That's what I did with Jacked. I didn't know what an agency was or, you know, and our, so I just kind of created that model. It's now called an agency. I wouldn't even call it that before, but you know, people like to bucket things. But anyways, I'm wrapping a business model around helping other people that I feel good about. So the first step is I created something called servicebasedbusinesses.com, and it's a private Slack community where I am working one-on-one with people that run agencies or other service-based businesses that are between 0 to 1 million and helping them get to 1 million. And not just helping them get to 1 million by the typical, hey, I have the Facebook ad strategy that's gonna get you your customers, blah, blah. No. Like the real way that you have to build a business, if you wanna build it to 7 figures and more than 7 figures, there's so many things you have to get right. And I've been through all of them, right? You have to get the financial engineering right. You need to get the HR right. You need to get the hiring right, the operations, the, you know, back office, the marketing, the sales, the business. There's so many things you have to get right, right? Understanding cash flow, et cetera. And so that's what I want to give that to people. And so I created this private Slack group where it's $100 a month, $99 a month. So super cheap. I wanted it to be, you know, enough where, you know, it wasn't really a blocking for people. I was once in a part where I was doing 0 to 1 million, and you don't have a lot of disposable income. You're trying to throw all the money back in the business. So I try to keep it cheap. I was like, I would pay $100, if I had access to someone like me, which is, you know, over the course of a year, $1,200. But I didn't want to do it for free because in general, I've just found people don't value free stuff. And also I was like $100 a month, you know, extrapolating it for myself. If I get 100 people in the group, it turns into 10,000 a month. And hey, that's a nice little business here. It's nothing crazy. Most of that money I'm throwing back in to creating materials,
videos,
this kind of stuff, right? I'm not actually making or don't actually plan on really making a profit out of that business specifically. I care more about helping all these people. I make my money from Jack right now, and we'll make it from other businesses. But here's where it gets cool to me. There's a couple things. With the service-based businesses group, right, I'm learning a ton actually about what else business owners need. And so I'm essentially creating a funnel for a couple things. One is, say I get 100 people, 200, 500 people in this community and I'm helping them, right? I'm adding value. And that's amazing in and of itself. You know, we had one guy who in his first month, some, you know, tips I gave him helped him make an extra $10,000, right? So that's 100x ROI. So, you know, that alone is super exciting to me that someone made $10,000 in their first month, you know, through the group. But where it gets more interesting is that, you know, later on, I want to actually build in Popo Group a bunch of agencies and services that actually serve other agencies. I think it's a very underserved market. If you look at the tech sphere, there's tech incubators, there's, you know, there's everyone is helping tech companies or other businesses. No one's serving agencies or service businesses. Right? And so I want to create a bunch of different businesses like the back office as a service, which can help, you know, these businesses grow easier, right? It's very hard when you're going from 0 to 1 and 1 to 2 million to have all the full-time people that you actually need. And so it can slow you down. And I want to essentially package that up because we figured that out at Jacked. We're extrapolating it, packaging up and offering it to people. So that's why we had the recruiting business. That's why we're doing back office as a service, which will be my goal with these is to be better than you could do on your own, but cheaper than you could do and faster, right? So like to actually our back office team, right, is composed of multiple people. There's no way when you're running a $1 million business that you can hire all the people that I have, but you need all those things, right? And so you're not going to find one person who can do all of it. So what I want to do is say, hey, cool, I've built this up. Let me just give it to you for $5,000, $10,000 a month. So cheaper than you could get if you actually had to hire these people. And so that's, you know, that's where I'm going with that. I'm also thinking about creating courses to educate people. So not everyone will need me to be hands-on either on a one-on-one basis or will not need our services, but they might, you know, need a course on financial analysis and accounting. And so really I'm taking all of these things and, you know, just want to serve agencies, and that segment, I fell in love with serving that type of person because I am that person and I've gone through all of it. And so anyways, it's a funnel is the way I look at it, is I'm going to touch all these, you know, 1,000 businesses, and then some of them will actually become clients of the new services that I spin out, which is cool. And some of them will even be, so with Popo Group, I'm also going to invest in some of these businesses. That's, I love agencies and service businesses because they spit off cash if you do it right. And you make a lot of money running a $2 million business for years on end. And so I also plan on, you know, it's essentially a way for me to interview all of these founders of companies through one-on-one interactions over months in time. And then I can handpick who I think could be a great fit for Popo Group, assuming they would want to be part of it. And I'll invest money, plus give them, you know, more hands-on help from my entire team. And we'll essentially create this portfolio of either businesses that we start and we bring in people to run, or businesses that we invest in. So that's kind of my strategy moving forward. And, you know, it's been good so far. Some people who have tried to apply to Popo Group are actually part of, I was like, hey, join the Slack community first. Let's get to know each other more. So it's actually, you know, starting to happen. So, anyways, that's what's going on in the world of, Popo Group. And then the other thing that I will be doing over the next year is starting to invest in real estate. So my investing strategy is very simple. Jack spits off money. Now I'm going to start other businesses, and then I'm going to take that cash that's spitting off from Jack and these other businesses and then throw it in real estate, have real estate income that covers our living expenses each month, and then just rinse and repeat. But that's where we're working towards, is complete freedom by having rental income pay for our lifestyle. And that's the real goal. So even in Miami, and we've had a good little debate on some of these things, I want to reduce our living expenses as much as possible so that it's easier to get to that financial freedom number. So we're making some compromises on
some days.
Some
days he wants the view, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's hard. I mean, you can't see this, but right now we have a view of literally entire of New York, the entire city of Manhattan. We're on the 54th floor. Yeah, we see Brooklyn. We see Queens. I mean, it's a beautiful view, and this is something I dreamed of for years. It took me over 10 years to get this thing, and I do love it. But at the same time, kind of like, okay, we achieved it. We can do it now. Now what? You know, it's more the chase of it and the means to be able to buy it versus the thing. What I care, it's basically like, what do you care more about? And right now I care more about not having the views. Well, we'll still try to have the views in Miami. But what I care more about is reaching that financial freedom number where the rental income is covering our lifestyle. And then we'll really be free and not really worry about anything. Because right now I still have to work. I love working, but I also have to, because if I stop, sure, I have cash saved up and I could live for, you know, depending if we reduce our lifestyle, we could live for years, right? But we can't live forever. And that's what, that's what I want to get to. So that when we're doing business, it's all just, it really, I see business as a game, but then it really is a game because it's play money, because that's not our livelihood. But, that's what I want to do. And that's what we're working on. When did we really start? I've wanted to do that for a while, but we started talking about it. What did you think when I was kind of like, here's the plan on how we're going to go in the next few years or whatever it is? Because it's like a new concept. Not everyone has this philosophy that I do, mm-hmm. right? I'm just curious, like, from your perspective, what you were thinking is like, okay, this guy that I know, obviously we've been dating for a while.
This guy that I know.
No, but like, this is my approach. Mm-hmm. But you've been on board with, okay, I'm going to do it. Like, why are you so on board with it? And what do you think about trying to do that? And everything I'm kind of doing.
About, you mean trying to reach financial freedom?
Yeah, or like the approach, you know, like, hey, I'm going to use Jack money. And then, you know, even what were you thinking when I was like, hey, I'm going to step away from Jack a bit?
I mean, I was excited. I think that, like you said, business is a game to you. And just to watch your eyes light up and get really passionate about things, I know that when you really, really give a shit, like, you make it happen. Mm. Not that when you don't give a shit, you don't, but I can just see the excitement in your eyes. And I think that, you know, like you said, we have been together for a while, and I believe in you. I always have since day one. So I know that whatever you set your mind to, we'll make it happen. And just, I don't know, it sounds like a fun adventure. It really does.
I mean, it'll definitely be an adventure, because I don't know how exactly we're going to do it, right? It's one of those things that...
figuring it out aspect. Yeah. It's going to be great.
That's the fun part, right? Like, real estate is... I've always been interested in real estate for years and years. Since I was a kid, I loved looking at properties and the value and how much they cost and these type of things. And I started really getting into it from Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Have you ever read Rich Dad, Poor Dad?
No.
All right, I need to get... reading that book. We do have the book.
When I was a kid,
I read that, and it was a great book, and it really got me thinking about having my money work for me. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, in the book, he has a couple different, I think they're quadrants, he calls them, and there's basically like, you own a business, you're self-employed, you're an employee, and there's like one thing else, right? And he makes the point of like, even if you're self-employed, you still have a job, and what you want to be is an owner of assets. And now, you know, come to think of it, this will be the first year when I'm actually just going to be the owner of Jacked. For so long, I've been the owner and operator of Jacked. And while I'm still involved, the day-to-day, like I said, is not being run by me. I'm involved in the long-term strategy, the long-term vision, and that I'll still be involved in for, you know, at least the foreseeable future of the next year or so, or whatever it is. You know, maybe eventually I step away at that point and really turn that over. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
I can't predict the next, you know, I couldn't predict that someone was going to be president in, you know, in Q4. But anyways, I'm moving into more of an owner role, and, you know, it was uncomfortable for me. It, you know, part of even getting here, I had to be ready to use myself and get out of the way. Like, I had to be ready to be like, here's the keys to the car to someone else that I trust. And go ahead, and I'll just be, I'm the owner. So I'm not taking a salary from Jack. I only make money, you know, if it makes money and it has a profit. And so that's what we're doing, is I want to own these multiple businesses and then have the real estate income. So we'll be more of that owner. And that's kind of the level or the theory in the book. It says owning assets that spit off cash. Mm-hmm. Problem with Jack is we don't know, we're going to be building it this year to make sure that it's making money and that it will continue making money. But real estate's different. Like, real estate is a hard asset. It's there. People will always need a place to live. And so we'll keep producing income, right? My grandma, this is how she lives. She's been living in the States. She's originally from Italy. They bought some property, and this rental income that she has paid for her life for years and years. She's never worked a day in her life, right? Because of that, because my grandpa was smart about doing that for her. So that's how she lives. And so I saw that approach, like, hey, that sounds really good. She doesn't work, but they own property and it spits off all this cash. And yeah, that sounds good to me. Let's do that. Why aren't more people doing it? And there are people that are doing it, but so right now, her and I, she's trying to push us towards investing or looking into a place called Fort Wayne, which is where she's from. Fort Wayne, Indiana, for those of you that don't know. Never thought I would even think about buying property in Indiana, but we'll see. We'll look at Miami. New York's a little expensive, and New York is, from what I've learned, you know, I have a ton to learn, which I'm really excited about, is most of the properties here in New York, you buy for appreciation, not for the rental cash flow. And I don't want to play the appreciation game. I want that to be like a nice bonus, but I really want to play the, hey, I rent it, I pay the mortgage, and the excess income is, you know, what we get and we live off of. So we have a lot of research to do, and we'll figure it out. But yeah, that's a whole nother journey over the next year that we're going to do. So
minimum next year.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's been a big, you know, last few months, last year. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff. I know there's a lot of stuff that we're leaving out and missing. I did leave out that as part of Pulpal Group, here we'll talk about some of the failures. I tried to spin out another two businesses. They didn't work. You know, one thing, to get business right, it's so much about the people and the relationship you have. That's how a lot of businesses fail, is actually because the co-founders don't get along. Hell, my co-founder of Jack left after 2 years and I had to buy him out. And then I had another partner, didn't work out, right? And then spun off these other businesses, had partners, and a lot of it's just the people. You have to be so aligned, right? There's some, here's the thing that I've also learned, and I didn't appreciate or give myself enough credit, and I'm also working on that. Being like, hey, you are actually pretty awesome because a business, you have to get so many things right to be successful in a business and keep it running for years. So Jax has been around for almost six, seven years now.
Let alone make a profit.
Make a profit. Yeah, it's survive. Make a profit. And a real profit.
Yeah, not just lose money.
Right, right. Or just being enough to like barely live on or anything like that. And so it's and my coach has really been emphasizing this, is like, hey, no, like you're pretty awesome. And of course there's things I need to learn, but like give yourself some credit on like this didn't happen by accident. Not everyone can do it.
You mean it wasn't lucky?
Yeah, some people have actually told me they think I was just lucky. I take that and I say, okay, sure. Because if anyone could do it, everyone would do it. That said, I think there are certain things that can help you make more, you know, if you have coaches around and mentors, this is why I'm trying to help other people's businesses. I don't think everyone should start a business though. I don't think it's right for everyone. You have to be in the right stage in your life, the right mentality, the right characteristics, I'd say. But there's, definitely surrounding yourself with the right people is important. But at the end of the day, it depends on the person that's running it. Like there has to be this drive, this grit, this resilience, because no one will actually do it for you. Even in my group and when I'm helping these businesses, I'm not doing it. I can't do it for them. There's only one person or co-founders or whatever is driving the business forward, has to be there all the time, pushing and pushing and pushing. And even with Popol Group and when I'm owning part of these businesses, I, at the end of the day, can't do it for them. I can't be the one driving every company. And so it's a lot of the person, how resilient on you, you know. I've been punched in the face, and literally actually punched in the face through a company, but punched in the face so many times and, been through depression, anxiety, drinking heavily, wanting to kill myself, like so many different things because of the business and going through it. I wouldn't say because of the business definitely, made those things evident. But yes, I was so tied to the business, but there's so many things, you know, being sued, half my team leaving within a month, owing people money because of certain things and whatever. Like, yeah, you know, it's just it's been a hell of a ride. And so I feel like I've earned it. I'm not slowing down, not stopping, right? This is where you have to keep going. But it takes a lot of grit and resilience to get through, because a lot of people, if you don't really want it, it's so easy to give up, because it would be way easier if I had just go work a job somewhere or like tapped out. That would have been easy. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And you could make more money, to be
honest. No. Definitely early years of the company, for sure. Even now, probably. I think now, if I took certain jobs, I could actually make more money. Because I actually don't make a lot of money, because I put it all back in the business, or I'm putting in Popol, and right? Like, if you look at our bank accounts, like my personal account, there's no money in it.
Yeah.
I live broke on purpose, right? I pay for our apartment and all these things, right? But it goes money in, money out. Everything else goes back in the business or back in Popol, saving for real estate. But like our bank accounts are zero, right? So I don't, yes, I have a nice apartment now. Got a little soft with that, I'd say. But put it this way, right? Like we could live in a place three times this size, three times as nice, right? Because we have, the business is spinning off that money. But it's just not the game I want to play, right? Because I'd rather keep putting it in and then be able to buy, not that we would, but be able to buy a place 10 times as big or 20 times, right? Like delayed gratification and living below your means and being financially smart personally is really important. But yeah, it just takes a lot of grit and resilience to get through all this shit. And I think that's an innate drive, but you also have to care about the business you're building. Like if I don't care about the type of business, I also wouldn't do it. I have to be passionate about it.
I was going
to
say passion. Yeah.
Yeah. Like stuff I would do for free. That's why I like the Slack group that I'm doing. Like I would do, and I was doing that for free.
I was going to say you were. Yeah.
So like I spent, like if you look at it, the hourly rate, if you like calculated it, that I versus what I'm getting versus what I put in, I work for a couple bucks an hour, literally, serving those people. Couple bucks an hour, right? Because I would just do it for free, you know, and I literally am basically doing it for free. And I'm actually just losing money because I take all that money and reinvest it in videos like this and, or podcasts or whatever it is. But like, that's what I love to do. And, I have no doubt though that I'll be able to turn that into something, you know, bigger, but yeah, I mean, it's hard. Well, but it's great.
Yeah. So should we wrap it up?
Yeah. So it's been about 45 minutes. I've been talking everyone's ear off. So yeah, that was the recap of, you know, pretty much all of 2018. It was a lot of me talking. In the future, it's going to be more of a dialogue between us. She's not just here as a pretty face next to me. Actually, next time she's going to be talking most of the time because I'm going to be asking her about what it's like to date an entrepreneur. Really fun. I'm actually very curious because I haven't really asked her about this. She gets asked this. She shares with other people sometimes, but I'm actually really curious what it's like. So I think if you run a business or you're dating someone who runs a business, they're gonna enjoy the next episode.
And
I think
if you guys have questions, I would love to hear them. Things that you would like me to talk about or ask Anthony his perspective. From how often we actually spend time together to our sex life to whatever. I mean,
how should people ask questions?
If you want to leave a comment on this video,
so we'll have this on YouTube. Below, but for the podcast though,
what we can also do is post a picture on your Instagram or something that people can.
Yeah, maybe we'll post something on Instagram and say, "Hey, we're going to be recording." A podcast, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. So this might be too late because we'll post this podcast in a few days, so you might miss it. But here's our plan. We're going to post on Instagram and maybe on Twitter and a couple places for me and for her. And we'll crowdsource a few questions that people have. And I think that will be a really fun one. So anyways, we'll wrap up now. That'll be the next podcast. I'm excited. But thanks for tuning in. If you're still with me and with us, please subscribe. If you're on YouTube video, please subscribe there. For anyone on the podcast, please subscribe so that you can get notified of our next episode. We will become more consistent with all of this. Sasha and I are going to be recording twice a week. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing it every day like we were doing before, we've committed twice a week. And it's in our calendar. It's a real event. And so we'll be releasing those moving forward as we go. So thank you for tuning in, and we will see you all next time.